Well, good morning. My name is Chris Norman. I'm on the team here at Grace, and we're really thankful that you're here. I was praying as I was driving here this morning, and I was just praying different prayers. And one of the prayers I prayed out loud in my car as I was driving, I said, Lord, there will come a day when I don't have the opportunity to stand before God's people and to teach the scriptures and so forth. And so I don't take this day for granted. And I'm just so thankful for every opportunity that you've given me. And I don't assume that I have tomorrow. And so I want to make the most of today. And this is a prayer for all of us. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And so we have today. And so we want to be faithful to the things that God has given us today. So we begin today with this new series called Taking Territory. Letting the story of Joshua show us how to claim God's promises. It's going to be an 8-part series. I will deliver 4 of them every other week. And on those opposite weeks, I'll be delivering the same message at our north location. And others that will be also speaking during this time of this series, Scott Jester will come and will communicate 2 of the messages. And then we'll also have Wes Jackson do one of the messages, and Brock Orlowski. And we had the 4 of us last week spending some time praying together. We outlined the entire series. And I just want to say that the 4 of us are very, very excited about the ways in which God's going to speak to us during this series called Taking Territory. Do you realize how many promises that God has made to each of us, both in a personal way, for our families, and for our church? In fact, let's just take a moment and say to your neighbor, God has given you many promises. Just go ahead and tell your neighbor, God has blessed you with many promises. It's a fact. It's true. It's good to say. It's good to hear. We have many promises from God, but here's the reality. Some of the promises that we've been given, we're living into fully and experiencing. Some of the promises that we've been given, we're kind of getting a taste, but we're not fully realizing them. And then other promises that God has given us, we aren't experiencing at all. And so you say, well, what do you mean by that? How are we not experiencing some of the promises? Well, let me give you 3 examples. And one of the things that you're going to see throughout this series is that this is going to be really relevant to our everyday lives in all kinds of ways. And so here's one example in the personal realm. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4 that if you have any struggles at all, any difficulties, any hardships, any challenges, here's what you are to do. Number one, you're to have a thankful heart. And as you have this thankful heart, you are to present your request to God. In other words, you are to pray about the challenges that you have. And if you do those 2 things, here's the promise. God will give you peace and will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so the promise is that if we are thankful and we pray, we'll have peace and we won't worry. How many of us today, right now, are living fully into that promise? You have no worries, no anxieties. You have absolute, complete peace. Well, maybe not so much. Maybe sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're experiencing that promise. Other times we're not. Let me give you another example, this time in the family realm. Ephesians 5 tells us that if a man and a woman come together with Jesus at the center, that they will be unified together, they'll be on the same page, they'll have a marriage going in the same direction, supporting and loving one another, and God will bless your marriage and bring you great joy. It's a promise. How many of us today experience all the promises that God has for our marriage? Marriages. Maybe some of them, not all of them. Let me give you one more example, this time not in the personal realm or the family realm, this time in the congregational realm. Acts 2 says that if a congregation is wholeheartedly serving God, that people within the congregation will actually feel like family, be so connected they feel like family. There'll be no needy people within the body. that we will experience the miraculous power and grace of God together, and that we as a congregation will have an impact in others around us and in an entire city. These are the promises that God has given us, or at least just one promise he's given us with regards to our congregation. How many of us and how are we experiencing those promises? And so sometimes we're living into those promises. Other times we're feeling discouraged and defeated because we don't see it. The Bible says and promises that in Christ you're more than conquerors. And yet sometimes we feel not like a conqueror, right? We feel very defeated and discouraged. Why is that? Why is there this gap between all the promises God has for us and our everyday life experience? What's the reason for the gap? All throughout the Bible, we'll see that God's people have to fight for the promises that they've been given. And the reason we have to fight is because we have internal and external resistors that we battle against that prevent us from receiving and living into all the promises and the territory that God has given us in our personal lives, in the lives of our families, and in the life of the church. Wouldn't it be a shame to go through life and miss out on receiving all the fullness God has given us in all the promises because we haven't learned how to fight and battle for the promises God's given us? I mean, this is what the book of Joshua is about. How do we step into and take the territory that is ours? It's promised to you, promised to me, promised to us. I mean, I know the promise that God has made to us in Philippians 14, in Philippians 4, for example, that I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. And there are days I feel like I can do all things, and there are other days I feel like I just can't do the things that God's called me to do or to be the person God's called me to be. I want to fight to live out and receive, but I have to learn, and we have to learn, how do you do that? How do you fight God's way versus maybe the way that we think we should fight? And how can we then receive the promises that God wants to bless us with? You're going to absolutely love this series because we're going to talk about everyday life. And my goal this morning is just to frame the series, but we're going to be talking about everyday life and how we actually step into the promises, not from our own strength, but in God's strength. And the book of Joshua is going to show us how to do that. And so I want to hear at the beginning, I want to look historically and spiritually at the context of the book of Joshua so that we can understand where Joshua fits in the trajectory of Scripture, so we understand the context of how God's speaking. So if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to the table of contents. You know, often get asked to turn to the table of contents, but turn to the table of contents in your Bibles because I just want us to see for a few moments how the Bible's organized and how the book of Joshua fits in written revelation. And so how many know how many books there are in the Bible? How many are there? 66, right. How many books in the Old Testament? What was it? 39, very good. And we have a lot of mathematicians in the house, so how many in the New Testament? What's that? 27, absolutely. So here's the thing. Sometimes when I'm working with someone who maybe is a new believer or never really read the Bible, say, well, I just want to read it from the beginning to end. So I want to start in Genesis and I want to make my way all the way to Revelation. The Bible isn't organized that way. The Bible is not organized chronologically. It's important for us to understand that. So we actually see throughout the Old Testament Of the 39 books, there is a chronology, but it's not from the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the Old Testament. The chronology is from Genesis to Esther. That's the full chronology of the Old Testament. The Bible, the written revelation of the Old Testament, ends at the book of Esther. And then the rest of the books in the Old Testament fit somewhere between Genesis and Esther. That's why they're called the historical books. So we see the poetical books and the major and minor prophets. We don't just read them like a chronology. They actually fit somewhere between Genesis and Esther. Then we have 400 years of written revelation silence, which is called the intertestamental period. So from 400 BC to the time of John the Baptist, we have no written revelation. So Esther actually ends around 400 BC. And we see the rest of the Old Testament books falling in between. Now, the first five books are called the Law or the Torah. They were written by Moses. And so when we begin looking at Joshua, there's a transition taking place between Israel's leader Moses to now the leader called Joshua. And so it's important for us to understand how that works. So in Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, God creates everything in creation. And at the very last verse of Genesis, it says that everything God made was not just good, it was very good. And so everything that he created, there was no, at the beginning, there was no sin, there was no sickness, there was no Satan, there was no suffering, there was no separation. Everything was right. And all the ways that God intended for us to live was actually happening in the early pages of Genesis. But then we know Genesis 3 took place, and there was what's called the fall. The parents of the human race, Adam and Eve, turned away from God, and everything changed. And all of a sudden, as a result of the fall, now we have sickness, now we have pain, now we have brokenness, now we have jealousy, now we have cancer, now we have natural disasters, now we have relational struggles. We have all the issues of brokenness. That wasn't the way God intended it from the beginning. It wasn't the way it was. Every promise that God gives us post the fall, post Genesis 3, the rest of the Bible, every promise is a promise of restoring what was lost. Restoring what was lost physically, because now our bodies break down. Restoring what was lost relationally, because now we have this relational tension and difficulty. Restoring what was lost spiritually in our relationship with God. Emotionally, every single aspect. And so as we read throughout the Bible, we're reading this promise after this promise after this promise, all those promises come back to what was lost and what was intended from the beginning. And we read many of these promises. We then come to Genesis chapter 12, and God makes a covenant where he formalizes the promise of restoration. And this is what we read in Genesis chapter 12, and he makes this promise and this covenant to Abraham and Sarah. And it says this: the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Shorthand: I'm going to make you into a family, my family, and you're going to represent me on the earth and take care of the creation I've made. You're going to be a family, my family, and you're going to represent me and have influence, which is what was intended from the very beginning when God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and take care of the earth. And so we see here the covenant made to Abraham was simply, I'm restoring what was lost. I intended to build a family who would represent me. That was lost, and now I'm restoring that, and I'm formally restoring that through you, Abraham and Sarah. And in that formal plan and covenant, I'm going to give you specific promises and specific land. I was going on a run on Friday morning a couple of days ago. And sometimes when I run, I just like to be silent and just to pray during the whole run. Other times, occasionally I'll listen to some music. And other times I'll listen to maybe a message or something. So I was getting ready to go out outside on Friday morning, and I decided I want to listen to one of the messages a few weeks ago from the Northside that they had a youth Sunday. And so a lot of their youth spoke. And as I listened, I mean, I tell you what, it was so encouraging. About 30 minutes, all these teens giving all these testimonies. And here was the common theme among all these teens. We're trying to be like family together, and we're trying to make an impact in the lives of others. What we call this at Grace, and this is what we're just reading in Genesis chapter 12, is what does it mean to be a family on mission? God's family making an impact and representing him on the earth. It's all of what we see throughout Scripture. And I'm going to play just two short little audio clips just to show you how encouraging it was. Here's the first one is from some girls who are transitioning from a Bible study to a family on mission, or what we call for teen missional communities, targets. And they're up in the Carroll district. And so this was just what they shared a few weeks ago. They're all high school students.
And we've talked about becoming a target group, which Gianna is going to talk to you a little bit about.
So we talked about in about a month transitioning from the youth group to a target group where we'd invite girls who don't really have a good relationship with God or just are caught up in the wrong crowd and invite them to have a dinner, but not force a relationship with Christ right away. Just have a meal and like eventually incorporate him in the conversations and just ask like if they have any prayer requests or things that we can talk about and bring him into the conversation and ask how we saw Jesus through our week and just incorporate him in little ways like that. And then our goal is to see more and more girls come each week and then eventually see them come closer to God and grow in their faith. And then, but we have to like prepare ourselves and step out of our comfort zones to achieve our goals. And that's basically what Immerse is and what we're trying to make it.
So that was some high school girls. I will give you one more audio clip. This time it was, I think these are 9th and 10th graders. Boys at Carroll High School who are forming, who have been forming a group together, again, to be family and to make an impact of their friends and in their school.
Okay, so I'm Evan, this is Isaac, and that's big guy, tough guy, strong guy, Rylan. And we're the core team of a family on mission called Bound. We took a break for the summer, and now we are back meeting every Sunday at 5. The people who are reaching out to are the people who don't have a relationship with God, or they might call themselves Christian, but they don't really understand how to live out of relationship with God. We are not a perfect example, but we try to live it out the best we can. We don't really know who this specific group of people are, but we are praying hard about it because Carroll's such a big school. So it's impossible to reach out to everyone who may not have a relationship with God. It might be athletics, the choir, or the band. So we ask for prayer to see who this group of people are.
All right. The weekly agenda for Bound is to sit down as a family and eat dinner together. While we have dinner, we plan to pray and have discussion about what took place during the week. Once we are done eating and discussing the week, we'll meet downstairs for the first few weeks, and whoever is willing to share will share their testimonies and their stories and encounters with God. After the first few weeks, we'll begin to dig into the Word and on certain topics that are shared in the Bible. Toward the conclusion of the meeting, we will pray for each other in the upcoming week. Another way that we will pray for Carroll and the students is meeting every month in the morning before breakfast. For breakfast in the morning before school with a group of people and pray for many people will open up and light shine through in Carroll.
Yeah, I really want to know what was so funny when they were there laughing. That was good, but just powerful stuff. I mean, I was just so encouraged. As I was listening to it, I felt like my run pace was actually increasing, which is a good thing. So it's a little strategy there for. But anyway, yeah, really, really encouraging stuff. And at its essence, again, is what was lost from the fall was family, being a family together, God's family, and then making an impact on those around us. And this is what we're restoring, and this is a big part of the promises that God has given us. We go to Genesis chapter 15, and we see that the promises were not only I'm going to build a family and you're going to have an impact, but I'm going to give you your own land. I know you're foreigners in a different land, but I'm going to give you specific geographic territory that you're going to occupy. It's my promise to you. So we just look at a map real quick, and we see the specific geography that God had promised. It was a physical promise of this land. And one of the things that we're going to learn as we work our way through the book of Joshua is that as we've been given promises, here's what we aren't to do. We aren't just to sit passively by and just expect to receive all the promises. We actually have to take steps forward and receive and take the territory, take the promises God has given us, and do battle the way God wants us to do battle. Because we have these internal and external resistors that are preventing us from receiving the promises, at least temporarily. What are those internal and external resistors? Let me just name them, and again, as we work our way through the series, we'll flesh this out of what this looks like. Three different resistors of why we're not receiving the promises and experiencing them the way God intended. Number one, the temptation of the world's values. We get sucked into the value system of the world, and it ends up robbing us of experiencing the promises that God has for us. Number two, the temptation of our sinful nature. We get easily enticed to run after things that gratify the flesh and are in the opposite direction of following after God. And we end up forfeiting the experience of the promises that God wants to give us. Thirdly, not only do we experience the sinful nature, but we have the temptation of Satan's influences and lies that do battle against us, that try to cause us not to believe the promises. I mean, this was the very first lie that Satan gave to Adam and Eve. And he's been doing it ever since, trying to get us to not believe in them and to follow his influence. Now, we commonly call these three areas the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's kind of like the common nomenclature that we often use. These are the areas where we battle. These are the reasons we don't experience all of God's promises. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be super vulnerable with you guys. I know the promises, for example, that God has given my family. I know when my wife and I got married and we said we're going to serve Jesus at the center of our marriage and at the center of our family, I know all the promises that come with that and the promises for our kids and our whole family. And we had a season where the enemy was speaking lies to our family and causing division between myself and one of my daughters for 2+ years. And it was very painful. And her and I are going to stand up here together and we're going to communicate what happened, how painful it was, how difficult it was, and how each of us, in our own way, had to fight for the promises that we weren't experiencing. Now, the reason I say that we don't experience all the promises, at least temporarily, is because there is coming a day, and we need to be crystal clear about it. There's coming a day when we will experience all the fullness. So we have Genesis chapter 1, where we had all of the reality of what God intended. We have the fall, which then robbed us of experiencing all the promises, all the brokenness. But then in the book of Revelation, we read that there's coming a day when everything will be restored, And it's called the new heaven and the new earth. And when we live in the new heaven and the new earth, that is when all the fullness of God's promises will be realized. We will experience them completely, and we will experience them eternally. And so right now, we're in between the fall and the new heaven and the new earth, and we're experiencing some of the promises, and many of them we're discouraged and we're not living into. And the book of Joshua is about how do we take the territory that is ours. And so we read in Numbers 13, the specific land was given to God's people. Moses was to take them into the land. 12 men are sent in to look out and to examine the land. They came back and gave a report to the people. And 10 of them said, I know God promised that land, but let me just tell you, we're not taking it. There's absolutely no way that we're able to receive the promise that God has given us of that land. Those people, they're way too strong. We don't have the ability. We don't know how to fight. They know how to fight. It's not going to happen. 2 of the 12 said, you know what? I understand from a human perspective, it seems like we could never receive the promise that God has given us. But I just want to tell you that if we do it God's way, we will experience all the fullness of all that land. The 2 people who came back and said we can do it were Joshua and Caleb. They were the only 2. The rest of the people, however, listened to the 10. And they said, yeah, we believe, we don't think we can take the land. Moses, why in the world did you even lead us out into the desert? We can't do this. And God said, okay, if you're not going to believe my promise, guess what? You're not going to experience it. And so for 40 years, this generation who said, I don't think we can live into these promises, for 40 years, this generation wandered in the desert until they died. And then a new generation came and took the land, and guess who was leading? Joshua and Caleb. And this is what Joshua is about. You actually have to believe the promises. One of the ways that we do battle, instead of just passively expecting the promises to come, one of the things that we have to battle against, the first kind of step, and we'll see this throughout, is that you actually have to believe it's true. There are so many promises that we're like, yeah, I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't really see that how that could ever happen, so I don't even know if I really believe that. And if we had to be honest, we don't actually believe all the promises. It's part of the reason why we have these resistors internally and externally. Well, let me just read here as I kind of draw this to a close. Let me just read some of the promises. And we're going to step into these throughout this series. Let me start with, I'll look at 3 different areas, personal life. Here are promises made to you in Christ. Here's the first one. He loves us unconditionally. Romans 8:38. Number 2, he works all things for my good. Romans 8:28. He meets all my needs. Philippians 4:19. He'll grant me wisdom. James 1:5. I will have peace. Philippians 4:7. I will overcome any temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will give me the desires of my heart. Psalm 37:4. And that's just a beginning list. Let me just ask you, as you look at that list, I want you to know those promises and many more have been given to you. Are you fully experiencing all the blessings of all those promises? It's territory in your life that God says you have authority to take because the authority comes from me. But many of us don't know how to fight God's way to receive these promises. And so we're constantly battling discouragement and defeat. Let me give you some promises just as a sampling of family life. Here's just a few. Our family will have unity, Genesis 2:24. Our family will be protected. Proverbs 14:26. Our children will walk with God. Proverbs 22:6. Our families will prosper. Jeremiah 29:11. Our family will receive provision. Philippians 4:19. Our family will impact other families. Isaiah 49:6. As we look at our families, our nuclear families, our spiritual families, are these things true? Are we receiving the fullness of all that God intends for us to receive as families? It's territory that is yours. It's just we're not occupying completely the territory God's given us because we don't know how to fight to take it. Let me give you the last list. Again, just a few samplings in congregational life, church life. Number one, God will build his church. We don't have to build it. He'll build it. Matthew 16:18. We will feel like family together as we relate to one another. Ephesians 3:6. We'll be complete and unified together as a family. Ephesians 4:13. God will change the world through us together. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We'll help one another grow. Hebrews 10:24. And we will love each other deeply as we do it. 1 Peter 1:22. Are these the things that we're experiencing as a congregation? Are you experiencing these things being a part of Grace Gathering? We have to fight to take the territory God has given us. Well, let's just close our time in prayer. Would you just bow with me? There are so many promises that come from God's word. And it can be very discouraging when we don't experience them. And God says there's certain ways that you have to fight to take them. We can't passively sit and receive them. We can't fight the way the world fights. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to the things that you're going to show us and teach us in the book of Joshua. Because we want to experience these promises. We don't want to go through life not experiencing the fullness of what you intend for us. We know we'll experience it in the new heaven, the new earth, but you tell us that you want us to experience it here and now in the meantime. And we want this. And so let me just give you just a few moments just to tell the Lord, just to thank him for the promises that he's given you, and just to tell the Lord that you want to learn how to fight for those promises. Just spend a few moments, just in the quietness of your heart, just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What does he emphasize to you this morning? And what kind of ways do you want to make commitments to him as you think about fighting for the promises that he's given you? Just spend a few moments just praying.